Good evening and welcome to another edition of Gillespie. I'm your host, Josh Gillespie. Hey, thanks for tuning in tonight. We know that the State of the Union is tonight, so you've had plenty to keep your mind occupied. But we're going to have a good show tonight. We're going to be talking with Christy Kelly. We're going to be doing a little discussion on Sarah Palin. We're going to talk with Rebecca Wales of Smart Girl Politics. What have they been up to? Check out sgpaction.com and you'll find out. Or just stick around and listen to Rebecca. We got a good interview with her tonight. And then we'll be having a special Hoosier edition of Ask a Rhino with Mark Warner. But on to the show. Tonight's State of the Union address has provided yet another lesson on presidential leadership. What we saw and heard tonight was a president who clearly is unsure of himself, one who is seeing the evidence that his hardcore liberal beliefs are simply incompatible with both a healthy economy and a functional democracy. He has once again reminded us of the importance of having a leader who can combine the wisdom of experience with a heart for our nation. He has once again reminded us that he lacks both. This coming February 6th will be the 100th birthday of perhaps the greatest president of the 20th century, Ronald Reagan. This date will be a bittersweet reminder of what it was like for us to have a man who deeply loved his country and saw the good that it, the good in it lead us toward making it what it should be, a sharp contrast to a man who handles our nation's affairs as though he had a score to settle. Another thing you've never heard from Ronald Reagan was an address contradicting nearly every policy statement he'd made up to that point. You would never hear Reagan do a complete 180-degree turn from his previous statements out of fear for his political career. In fact, I've always believed that one of the things that liberals hated and feared most about Ronald Reagan was that he was unapologetically firm in his ideals. Reagan was a man who had developed his own principles over a lifetime of deep consideration and study, tempered by his own life story. He was a man who had seen nearly everything this nation had to offer, from poverty to the soaring heights of success. He was a man who deep down believed that America was the greatest nation that had ever graced this planet, a nation truly blessed by the very hand of God himself. President Reagan would have never insulted Americans by saying that they bitterly clung to their guns and religion. In fact, he joined them in their gun clubs and churches. He would have never threatened his political opponents by warning them that they'd better not bring a knife to a gunfight. In reality, many of his closest friends were Democrats, and no president in the last 50 years has generated more bipartisan support than Reagan. 30 years ago, America was a bruised and battered nation, suffering under the leadership of an incompetent man who was clearly unprepared for the challenges he faced. That time of turmoil cleared the way for the presidency of Ronald Reagan. May God bless us with someone who else is capable in yet another time of need. Stick around for Gillespie. We got a great show coming up. We're talking with Christy Kelly. After that, Rebecca Wales, and then, of course, Mark Warner. Stick around.
Hey, Gillespie fans. This is Fingers Tiberius Molloy. Listen to The Snark Factor with Fingers Molloy every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time only on FTR Radio. And check out my website, fingersmolloy.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie. With me this week is Christy Kelly. Christy, thanks for being back on the show this week.
As always, my pleasure, Joshua.
Yes, well, it's always a pleasure to have Christy on the show because Christy, as my listeners know, always brings to the table very interesting articles of which to discuss. And this week, we're not actually talking so much about an article as it's giving us a liftoff. Christy sent me this article written by Dick Morris and Eileen McGann from townhall.com called The Perils of Palin. And I was pleased that Christy brought this to my attention because this is kind of a forerunner to a conversation that FTR will be having in a few weeks. But it's essentially an article on the slings and arrows being shot at Sarah, and are they fair or not? And I think it's an interesting conversation to have. It's definitely in it because I think that Christy and I are going to be coming at this from two points of view, which will definitely be of interest to our to our listeners. But Christy, I want to start off by highlighting something because at the very outset of the article, and we're just going to delve right into this. It says that Sarah Palin's unfavorable rating in a CNN poll, in a CNN poll, rose from 49% before the midterm elections to 56% now. And it wasn't because of the left-wing charges. People have summarily dismissed those. It was because of her response.
Mm-hmm.
It was the use of terminology that people found, I don't know if it's necessarily that they found it offensive. I mean, clearly some people did, and of course we're talking about the blood libel. but it's that, you know, people are getting this perception that maybe she just doesn't know how to use the common language. And of course, that's going to sound negative.
What do you mean the common language? The blood libel comment, or
yes, the blood libel comment was completely used out of context.
Well, how is that? How is blood libel when they essentially wanted to attribute this to Sarah Palin? You know, at my university, there was a thing. There was a question. They have this big chalkboard where people can comment. That usually some provocative question is asked, and then people respond on the chalkboard. And it was, do you believe that the shooting in Arizona was because of political, you know, the political environment? And then someone commented in great big letters, ask Palin.
Oh, well, that's just wrong.
So, you know, but this is why she would not have ever said the blood libel. She didn't just pull this out of thin air, okay?
No, in fact, one of her research assistants, which she has very few because she trusts very few people, pulled it out of thin air to throw into a speech.
Whoa. You mean there was no one attributing Palin's rhetoric to the Tucson shooting?
No, there were people who were. We're talking about two different things here. Yes, people were attributing Palin's rhetoric, and they were falsely accusing. This is where I'll stand in defense.
That's what blood libel is. Blood libel is where they falsely accuse. Just like the Jewish people in the medieval times, they were accused. Any bad thing that happened, it was because of them. You know, and today, even in the Palestinian territories, they still do the same thing in the cartoons. They will say that the Jewish people kidnap, you know, Muslim children and then, you know, use their blood when they make the matzah bread. You know, in the medieval times, they were, the blood libel against them was for poisoning the water and killing, and they were responsible for the Black Plague because none of them were dying, because they actually washed their hands all the time. Jewish people would wash their hands, so they weren't dying like all of, you know, the dirty Gentiles of the time were.
Well, at that time, I mean, in that particular case, it was unfortunately Christians who were making the accusations.
Exactly, and it was the blood libel against them. It was a false accusation of blood.
It was a false accusation, but the history of the term, I mean, it has always been connected. Not necessarily, the blood libel hasn't been used in other areas of history. It's always been something. It's a term that is assigned and used for what has unfortunately happened to the Jewish population all over the world. They're falsely accused of things all the time. Now, to use that term against
Sarah is always falsely accused. Now,
who else has suffered
the accusation and lies of the left like her, really?
Well, and also to a certain degree from the right. Mm-hmm. Although people on the right who are supporters of Sarah Palin would probably say that they're lefty moderates within the Republican Party who are against Sarah Palin. Now, I'll be honest. I'll be forthright with
Please do, Josh. Always be honest with us.
I am honest with my listeners. I'm honest with my guests. I'm not the biggest Palin fan. I used to be. I used to have the greatest admiration for Governor Palin. I remember when she came to Indianapolis when she was the VP nominee in 2008. It was fabulous. It was a great rally down at over at the Verizon Wireless Music Center.
I was there.
Oh, you were there too?
I was there. Yep.
I was in the press pool.
I was not in the press pool.
Well, that's what my fancy blogger credentials got me. Anyway, you know, it was a great rally. I was, and frankly, she was the reason that I voted for McCain, because otherwise I was very apathetic about voting for McCain, whether I even wanted to.
Well, Obama was the reason why I voted for McCain.
Oh, well, Frankly, I knew our country was going down the crapper. I just didn't know how fast it,
yeah, it would go down slower with McCain, and you know, maybe it would not go as fast, and we would have the 4 years to do something.
Sure, I mean, the thing is, I would have voted in 08, and I would not have voted for Bob Barr, so I probably would have voted for John McCain, but I would have done it begrudgingly.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin made me excited to go to the polls. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that since that time, my opinion of her has continued to go down because of the way that she's handled herself. And I think that Dick Morris points to exactly why opinion of her has always been – or negative opinion has always been very high of her. Near 50%, now over 50%, is because she feels like she has to respond. And, you know, I'm the youngest in my family. And, you know, when my brother and sister picked on me, mostly my brother because he was 10 years older than me, but when my brother picked on me, you know, I wanted to respond. I didn't care how much taller and bigger and more muscular. I mean, the guy played football, so, I mean, he could tower over, you know, this 18-year-old could tower over this poor little 8-year-old who wanted to take on his brother for picking on him.
This explains so much, Josh. Thank you for sharing.
But I think Sarah Palin reacts the same
way. We will
way
all be so much more patient with you now that things are more clear.
Oh, wow. Wow. The sarcasm is dripping, Kristen. But I feel that's the way that Sarah Palin responds. It's like she's responding to a bully, whether they're Republican bullies or Democrat bullies. It's like she has to open her mouth and say something.
Okay, I would like to respond, Joshua, to what you just said. I want to respond to this because one of the things I think that people who – the Sarah Palin fans, one of the things that endears her to them – is that she does respond because, you know what, they're sick of being bullied. They're sick of being bullied by the liberal left because conservatives, we've kind of – they attribute our calm, quiet, high road that we have always taken, that the conservatism has always taken in not responding to the left. And they kind of are like, oh, that's what has gotten us in this mess. That's, we have basically handed over everything. We've tried ignoring them, and we're sick of it. We're angry. There's a lot of angry conservatives about being bullied by the leftist liberals who've essentially took over our nation. That's why we have Barack Obama in the White House now. And they're like, they want a warrior. They want someone who has got the kahunas to come out and fight. And it just so happens that it's Sarah Palin who is doing this. And so she's responding, and that is getting her a fan base, her fans even more dedicated to watch her back as she has got their back. Because you know what? We need someone who's big enough to take on these bullies. So maybe that is maybe a little bit of a defense for her being able to respond.
Okay. I see your point. I see your point because – I mean, it does seem as if conservatives in the past have just been kind of roll over and play dead.
Mm-hmm. We're sick of having just to be told to bend over and take it. A paddling, that is.
Yes. Of course. But okay. And mind you, I don't want my listeners to think that, you know, it's like just because this isn't some feminist thing. You know, I just don't want Sarah Palin to sit there and shut up. That's not what I want. I think there are responses, and then there are appropriate responses. And I think that Sarah Palin is that she's a rush to response. She doesn't you get the impression that she doesn't think things through before she responds. I mean, listen, there was praise for Barack Obama's speech in Tucson from both the right and the left. I mean, Rush Limbaugh had great things to say about it. Glenn Beck had great things to say about it. But, you know, and I know that there are people, both Rush and Glenn were quick to, to defend Sarah Palin.
But Sarah Palin's not the president of the United States.
No, she wants to be.
She hasn't said that. She says she has not made any decisions.
Christy,
other people want her to. She's a political commentator. A private citizen, political commentator, and that is attacked on a regular basis.
Please, if she was a political commentator and an actor, she'd have the same show like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh.
You haven't watched that Sarah Palin show on Life? What is it?
No. There's a difference between being a reality star and actually having a legit show. You know, I won't watch Glenn Beck because the guy annoys the living crap out of me.
Yeah.
But But the thing is he has a legit show. Rush Limbaugh has a legit show. Sarah Palin, oh.
She's a political commentator, is what she is.
She's not a political commentator. Sarah Palin's Alaska was not a political commentator.
Oh, I'm not calling that a political commentator. She is a guest political commentator. That's what she does. She is often called upon to commentate. That's what she does.
Then why did she quit her? Why did she quit being governor of Alaska?
She quit being governor. No, she quit being governor of Alaska because she could do nothing. She could her hands were essentially tied because of all the lawsuits because of the laws in Alaska. The way they are set up is that people can bring lawsuits against the government, and then the government has to pay to defend against these. And all kinds of trivial, crazy, stupid things were being leveled at her as it was a full onslaught attack from the left to essentially crash her office. And that's exactly – and they were very successful. I was disappointed to see that she quit doing it. But out of frustration, there was nothing that she could do. And it was costing Alaska, you know – I don't know, millions of dollars, $1 million. I don't know the exact number, but it was a ghastly amount of money to be able to defend against all of these ridiculous, trivial lawsuits, which would all be proven to be false, but still they had to answer them. And that, because that's the law, that's the state law of Alaska, that they all had to be, if any complaint, any suit that was brought forward had to be addressed. So they had to pay for it regardless.
We don't have time to give the appropriate response that I want to, because then I would have to give you time to respond to that, and I would want to give you that time, but we don't have time for that.
Oh, we
this
don't.
This conversation could go on forever. Here's the thing, is that I think that a lot of people, they want to like Sarah Palin. I want to like Sarah Palin again. I do. But despite what you say, she is gearing up for a run for president. There is no doubt in my mind. And
it's a possibility. I'm not denying that. But she's not president right now. And Barack Obama is. And I'll tell you what, as president, Barack Obama has been a complete moron. The things that he has said, he is supposed to be my president, and he basically is calling us an enemy. And he has told the Hispanic community that we are their enemies because we do not support amnesty or the illegals in our country. He has called us what? Albeit he was only a candidate then, you know, those who cling to their guns and religion. But he said many other things about, you know, well, we're going to bring a gun to the fight, you know. He has said he has responded to his critics with a great deal of vitriol. I don't believe that Sarah has done it with vitriol. I think she has done it in a very level-headed way. Just like, and you know, even in the Dick Morris article, he said that Palin, that she also always responds with even though she answers the attacks, she does it with a level head and sense.
Okay. I will give you I have given you the last word because we've come to the end of our segment.
It's over already.
It is over. See, every time you're on the show, time flies. we can continue this discussion because I want to in the coming weeks.
Okay.
Because I think that people need to hear. We need to talk this out. Because
okay, you agree with Dick Morris that the left has played Sarah Palin like a fiddle.
Yes.
And I say that the left has played the GOP establishment like a fiddle.
Touche. And with that, we've come to the end of the segment with Christy Kelly. Christy, thank you for being on this week.
Thank you
for always bringing us good conversation. Because seriously, we need to be bringing this up again next time you're on the show, because this subject, we're going to be talking about Palin for quite a while. Stick around here for a little bit longer. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Rebecca Wales from Sparkle Politics. They got something new that they just launched. It's going to be really exciting. Stick around. You're listening to Let's Be Here on FTRradio.com. We'll be right back.
Ask me why, ask me why, as I cry. FTR Radio is from the right radio, online at FTRradio.com.
stories. We all love them, and we all have them. Whether you're a candidate, public office, or a small business, you have a story which is incredibly unique to you. The problem isn't having a story, the problem is how to tell your story. And that's where my friend Jacob Barry comes in. Jacob is a gifted storyteller who has the added bonus of being an experienced campaign professional, marketer, sales professional, and small business owner. Not only can he put the right words together, he knows exactly what needs to be said and how to say it. So the next time you need a speech, sales letter, article, or marketing piece, trust the professional I go to. Trust Jacob Perry. You can reach him on the web at www.jacobperry.us. Give him a call at 772-678-0820. That is 772-678-0820. Or drop him a line at jacob@jacobperry.us. I am pleased to have Rebecca Wales from the Smart Girl Politics. I'm sure you remember her. Rebecca, you and the Smart Girls have had a show here on FTR before, so I know that people are familiar with you. But you and SGP and the rest of SGP have started something very exciting, and I wanted to have you on the show here to talk about this. Tell me about SGP Action. What are you guys doing right now?
Well, we've kind of gone through a little bit of a metamorphosis in the past week. And if you go to sgpaction.com, you're going to see that we have, instead of being about three or four different sites, we are now one big site. So it's Smart Girl Nation, Smart Girl Summit, the Ning site, and smartgirlpolitics.org are now one site, which... That in itself is a big deal for us because we were about 50,000 members kind of spread all over the place. Now, it got a little bit confusing. And I'm going to say that, because I know it myself. Now, we did that because we wanted to bring it all under one umbrella. And the reason we did that was because of really Smart Girl Politics and Smart Girl Politics Action. Smart Girl Politics Action is... really one of our new endeavors. Smart Girl Politics is our education arm, and it's going to be operating our offline training sessions that I hope people have become a little bit familiar with, as well as our online training, our SGP 101 classes that I've been having a lot of fun with. I hope other people have as well, that we will be getting started again really, really soon. Smart Girl Politics Action, however, is going to be the activist operation that really tries to get people more involved in a lot of issues. Now, if you think about what Smart Girl Politics has been over the past 2 years, we haven't shied away from things.
No, you haven't. I say that in a good way. You guys have been incredible.
Well, you look at healthcare, for instance. Healthcare as an issue was obviously, in the conservative world, one of those things that started really small. We wondered as a movement where it was going to happen. For Smart Girl Politics, it started for us even before it became kind of the big deal. How it came about for us was we did our yearly member survey, and we asked our members, at the time we had probably about probably under 20,000 members, we asked our members, so what's going to be important to you? And overwhelmingly, these women said healthcare. So immediately, we made it our banner issue. And then all of a sudden, it took off. And we said, wow, well, we called that one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, but even before that, if you think about what happened, Smart Girl Politics sat on a conference call. We sat on the conference call with the Don't Go movement. We sat on the conference call with Teapot. And we talked about this thing called the National Tax Day Tea Party. And when that happened, something called the Tea Party Movement was formed. And we really don't shy away from things. Well, that's what Smart Girl Politics Action is about. Right now we're taking on education, energy, and health and wellness. These issues came about because of that's what our membership wants. And those are the three first issues that Smart Girl Politics Action is going to be looking at. And we're really excited about it.
Well, what do you guys want to? Well, I should say, what's the agenda as far as education goes? In Indiana, that is a huge issue, and of course, it's a big issue nationally. I mean, Indiana, in the past, is usually ranking near the bottom. You know, around 47th in the nation in terms of education. And Governor Daniels and his superintendent Tony Bennett are really pushing an aggressive education agenda. What kind of agenda is SGP going to be working to promote this year? And I know that you guys are going to be involved in obviously in campaigns and getting involved in getting people writing letters and everything they can to their representatives and their senators.
Well, we're going to be involved in there's so many different things that's going to happen, but School Choice Week's coming up. We're going to be really involved with School Choice Week. I mean, the first thing is reform. That's the biggest thing that we're going to be talking about. There are a lot of different things that are coming up and down the pike, and you named quite a few things that are happening in themselves. You know, America's education system is really in a state of crisis, and what we're looking at as women, as mothers, is really we failed our children, we failed our country's, the future investment in our country. And that's what you really have to look at when you're talking about the education system. We're going to be coming out with, we have to take apart in Smart Girl Politics and Smart Girl Politics Action. The activist arm is going to be doing a number of different things, and that's what we're going to be looking at. There are so many different things that we can do right now, and if you look at what School Choice Week itself is going to be doing, we're actively involved in January 23rd through 29th. School choice advocates are going to be gathering across the nation to really look at what the different education options are going to be. And Smart Girl Politics is partnering with those organizations to be a part of that. That's the kind of thing that the activist arm is going to be doing, and we can't wait to be a part of it.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I mean, even from my perspective. And that's the thing about Smart Girl Politics that I've really enjoyed about your organization is that you let guys join. So, you know, a guy like me can be informed and involved in what you and what SGP is doing in general, and you know, can really get behind your guys' leadership, because you guys have been doing a tremendous job. I think, you know, my first real SGP experience was the summit this past year in Washington.
Summits, I love our summits. Our summits are so much fun. And I say that on a couple of different levels. They're fun because we get to bring these wonderful advocates and activists from across the country together who they want to learn more. They want to learn how to be activists in different ways, but they want to learn how other people are doing it. You know, it's so much fun to get to see the energy of these people. And we bring together such amazing, energetic people and experts. And that's what's so much fun about it. You know, this was our second summit. And I think what was so fun is that we had people infiltrating our summit trying to find something wrong with us.
I recall this. I know, I forget who, there were a couple people who tried to crash. I know Kirsten Powers tried to crash it herself.
But then we asked her to speak.
Yeah.
You
turn the table on them when you catch them. I love it.
Well, you know, when she walked up to my table, because, you know, I'm the vice president of communications, so basically what I did was I parked a laptop. I basically was just answering press calls all day. And she walked up to the table, and we recognized her, and I started talking to her, and then I asked her to talk. Because here is a really, really, really intelligent woman who has a lot to say, and she doesn't disagree with us on everything. And that's what's funny. If you take a step back, she doesn't disagree with us on some fundamental issues. She is a really strong, really intelligent woman who, obviously her fundamental politics are way against what we believe, but what she does is she believes in being a strong, intelligent, powerful woman and using that power to get her voice across. That's something that we all agree on, and I appreciate that. Why not speak on it? And she was great. She was actually really, really wonderful. And I appreciate that she did come up up on stage and speak to our membership.
That's incredible. Well, that's definitely a great story there from I mean, and of course it helped that SGP was right there in Washington. So, I mean, you had an entire press corps just kind of being able to sit on what's going on, keep abreast, and if something happens to break, well, they could just go check it out.
Well, you know, something that we need now, and that I hope that your listeners can help us with, is we do, obviously, with the launch of SGP Action, with the activist arm, but also with what we want to do with SGP, with Smart Girl Politics, and what we have in store for the education part of this. I mean, our education part is pretty phenomenal. We plan on teaching a whole new generation of candidates on how to be candidates. And this isn't just national candidates. This is candidates from the local level and their staff on how to be candidates, the grassroots portion of it. The kind of the most fundamental pieces of being a female candidate. This is part of what our education piece is going to be. And it's really what I'm probably most excited about, because we need to do this. We had an overwhelming number of female candidates put their papers in to be candidates this past election, and we need to keep that going, but we need to teach them how to do it. We need to give them the tools. Smart Girl Politics is ready to do it. We have the tools. We have the curriculum ready to go. But now, I'm going to be blunt, we need the money to do it. So if people are out there and they want to sponsor and they want to donate, we're willing to, we have the tools to keep it going. You can just go to smartsgpaction.com and donate. If you want to see women, conservative women, continue to run for office, just let us give you the tools to do it.
And actually, if you go to SGP Action, you will, the Donate Now button is on the front of the page, and the picture, if I am correct, a picture there is of Ashley Sewell, who has the show right before my show. So you get to go see Ashley there on the SGP Action page.
And oh, look at it. I just pulled it up, and I didn't even notice that Ashley is on the page. Yay, Ashley.
Yes. So, Ashley has been a wonderful addition to the SGP, or excuse me, FTR. So many letters. I'm throwing them all together, of the FTR lineup, and I'm proud to say she's part of the Tuesday night lineup. And
she's fantastic. When she first came on into SGP, she was an immediate dynamo. She's immediately just such a strong point of SGP. I'm so happy at how she's grown and how she's kind of just she's flown. That's the only way to put it. She's amazing.
And her show is amazing. If you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to. Before I let you go, we've talked about the summit briefly. I know you guys are already planning SGP 11.
Yay!
And I know that my colleague Mark Warner here on Gillespie, Mark and I hounded you and Terry at the Washington summit.
And I
have to bring it up. I have to bring it up because the show takes place in Indiana, and I would be remiss if I didn't try to put in my two cents to try to get SGP to come to Indianapolis for the next summit. It's what I do. I know the ladies are thinking about, you know, making it more central. That doesn't necessarily mean Indianapolis is the place, but Indianapolis is wonderfully central to people coming from the east, people coming from the west and south. It's a wonderful location, and that's just my two cents for Indianapolis. But what do you guys have any ideas of what you have in store or what's being discussed for SGP 11?
I'm going to tell you this. We will have more details about SGP 11 very, very soon. But what I can tell you, though, is that over the next probably 18 months, there will be more to do in the field that doesn't just include SGP 11, because again, we need to get our membership, we need to get that next generation of candidates. Not just the candidates don't just come from their computers. Candidates are grassroots. candidates are out in the field. Those are where the next generation of 2012 candidates are coming from, and we need to get them ready.
That's what
Smart Girl Politics is about.
Well, I encourage everyone, every one of my listeners, male and female, to go to SGP Action, register. I, too, am a member of SGP.
Our guys, the smart girls are nothing without their smart guys.
That's right. And smart guys want to encourage the smart girls. That's definitely. And Rebecca and Terry and the entire gang have been incredible at putting this together. And the new site is incredible. It is wonderful to be able to go to one place. I encourage everyone to go sgpaction.com. Rebecca, thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Stick around here for Gillespie. We'll be right back after these messages.
FTR Radio is now 100% Michael Jackson free. Can they say the same at the New York Times? I think not. FTR Radio, always online at FTRradio.com.
Hey, I'm Essie Cupp. You're listening to FTR Radio, From the Right Radio, online at FTRradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time again for the wave that's taken the nation by storm, where I put so-called Republicans on the spot. Are they real GOPers or just Republicans in name only? It's time for Ask a Rhino!
And welcome back to Gillespie. With me during this segment is everyone's favorite Midwest Rhino, Mark Warner. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Josh. I'm actually working on a blog post right now and preparing for the hate mail that I will be receiving.
You rhino, you are always preparing for hate mail. I swear there is something wrong with you.
Well, you know, I'm always prepared for it. So when it does come, I'm like, oh, there it is. Oh my God, I got hate mail. What did I do?
Well, because of that, you know, I want people to know exactly just how nice you are. You're not an evil rhino. So because you are part of the show, you've always been part of the show, I've actually created for you your own intro music, and it sounds a little like this. I am premiering the intro music for Mark's segment. So not just is he a rhino, he's a Midwest rhino. Here we go.
Yeah.
Time again, the time where we bring the best from the Midwest and rhino goodness. He's cute, he's cuddly, he won't take a position to save his life. It's Mark Warner!
We came here at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 to see them, and all they do is push you farther and farther away, and then they don't even let you see them.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Warner.
Nice. I'm glad I got some fans out there. Hey, where did you start with people cheering for me?
I actually took that. That's rare Beatles footage.
Nice.
I'm sorry. Well, I thought the only way to actually express people's gratification in hearing you on the show is expressed through irrational females who were screaming breathlessly at the Beatles.
Nice.
You create that kind of excitement, and so.
Yeah, I do.
I thought it was only fitting that I used Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, that's all right. I appreciate it. I do.
Yes. Good.
Well, tonight I want to talk about something really, really controversial.
Oh, geez. You never.
Right, I know. You know, I want to talk about the Indiana Tea Party people.
Oh, jeez. You rhino.
Yeah, I know. No, establishment rhino. Get that right, man.
Wicked establishment rhino is what you are.
What was that?
You're a wicked establishment rhino.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, Saturday morning, I went up to everybody's favorite little town, Tifton, Indiana. Now, it's probably not everybody's little favorite town, but it's in the 5th Congressional District, so it's good. Anyway,
and
I got up there.
Barack Obama had some relatives who lived not too far away from Tifton.
Really?
Just throwing that in there. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, throwing me off the subject, thanks. Here's the thing. I went up there with an open mind, going, all right, because there's been a lot of media hype for this. People are talking about it, going, this is going to be the, you know, this is going to be a premier event. You know, the Tea Party people are going to get united behind one candidate to run against Senator Richard Lugar.
Yeah, that's the background here, is that this is the first time that all the Tea Party groups in Indiana had actually congregated in one place.
Right, right. There was like 70 different Tea Party groups there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I go up there, and I run into our buddy, Abdul-Hakim Shabazz from News Talk 1430, WXNT.
Yeah.
Which you can listen online if you would like to, WXNT.com or NewsTalk1430.com.
Hey, this is our show. This isn't Abdul's show.
I'm just promoting. I'm just pimping. Okay? Anyway, so we're sitting beside each other with a lady from The Star and some other people from Wayne TV and all these other things. Mm-hmm. They're MC with Pat Miller from a radio station up in Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. And he proceeded to go on, you know, blah, 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 we hate Dick Lugar, blah, 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 blah. Okay?
Okay, stuff you would then expect to hear. Sure.
So the normal stuff is here, you know, we don't like him, he doesn't serve us well, but we'll be respectful. And then he made a really cruel joke that was not funny at all. It was very racist-filled. Even there was a lot of people there, and some of them laughed and some of them didn't, but it was over the top. So right there, he lost me. Okay? Now, mind you, there was some national media there. The AP was there and Fox was there. But the whole time they spoke, about an hour and a half, I think it was, a bunch of Lugar spoke, and they talked about how they don't want Lugar, they need to unite behind one candidate, blah, blah, blah. When I left there confused.
What happened?
And no, don't get me wrong. I think these people are fine. If they want to run against Lugar, great. You know, by all means.
Well,
but,
I saw the tweets coming in that morning, and you know, I don't think that the off color joke was wrong, but I don't think you can peg a whole event or even a group on one on an MC's joke.
I understand that, but if your MC is going to stand up there and make cruel jokes like that, you better denounce it. And nobody denounced it.
Well, no. You listened to the interview from Channel 6 that was posted. In fact, you emailed it to me today.
Right.
Greg Fettig, who we've had here on the show, did deny it. He said that is not an example of the group. In fact, Abdul brought it up, and he's like, that doesn't represent the group.
I understand that, but it wasn't.
It was in poor taste, yes, but I mean it's
right.
Not reflective, and they did
right.
Denounce it.
I'm just saying, if you're going to have an MC there, make sure he is, you know, not telling jokes like that. That doesn't help your cause.
That's true. I'll give you that.
Okay. So going on, the whole time I was sitting there, I'm like sitting going, "What is this group about? What are they doing? How?" You know, are they starting a political party? Are they starting a PAC? Are they starting a 501c3? What are they doing? And that wasn't brought up that day. They don't know what they're doing yet. They don't know what kind of candidate they want. They just don't want Lugar. Bottom line. And to me, if you're going to take on a guy like Senator Richard Lugar, you better be organized. And if you're going to be organized like that, you probably shouldn't have invited the media to this type of event because you weren't well prepared for it. I mean, the night before, Richard Lugar raised $400,000. And it's probably sitting on a cool $4 million in his war chest. and is organized and has a well-oiled machine out there. So anybody has a signature is done. He has 8,000 signatures already. So that tells me that he's organized and he's ready to go. He's ready to fight. And Richard Lugar can fight. Let's be honest. He's done it.
Here's where I'm going to play Tea Party advocate here. Because, you know, I was not able to attend the event, unfortunately, but I was invited. I knew a little bit about this going in, and there are a couple things that I did find a little odd about this particular event. One, that they made the media availability before their meeting. They did have a meeting after all this was done as a group that was, and this has come under criticism, but that was essentially held behind closed doors. They
but
shut
I was
off
there.
The media. You were there?
Yeah, they let us stay.
Okay, they let you
they
stay.
They let the bloggers stay.
Okay, because I was going to say that I thought that the point, my perception of the meeting, at least the private portion of the meeting, was where they would do a lot of the organizing and hashing out of what they wanted to be. Then they would have the public rally in front of the media. I mean, if it's me and I'm putting this thing on, that's what I do, is that I have, you know, maybe we can't get everybody together, you know, one place before this Saturday, so we take that morning. That Saturday morning, discuss what we're going to do, discuss our game plan, put it together, and then you have the public display, and hopefully have a better MC.
Right.
And then when you take media questions, you know, you can answer these things when they say, "What are you planning to do? What are you, how do you plan on doing it?" Because what I think that the Tea Party had some very good intentions, and in fact I was impressed that they were able to get everybody together, because I know that the Tea Party, for the most part, at least here in Indiana, I don't know if it's been this way all across the country, but at least in Indiana, I know that each group has acted very individually, and some counties even have multiple Tea Party groups.
Right.
So to get them together was pretty interesting. And now that they're talking about having a convention in June, in which they will formally announce who they will be supporting in a primary against Dick Lugar. And a couple names have been thrown out, you know, being chief among them, State Treasurer Richard Murdoch, State Senator Mike Delf, and then I know that two Tea Party-style candidates in the previous campaign who ran against Dan Coats, Don Bates Jr. and Richard Baney have also been thrown out, but those two guys collected less than 10% of the vote, so I can't see them going very far. Now, don't get me wrong, I actually like Don Bates. I think Don Bates has a very good political future ahead of him, should he choose to run for something, say, like Congress. But
right, I'm not saying that they're... But
yes, you are, Mark. You're right.
The media attention that they got, fine. They delivered a letter. Everybody signed it and delivered it to Lugar's office this morning.
Can I say something real quick about this letter?
Sure. Hold on. Because what it looked like is Lugar's probably sitting there watching this on TV or reading it online or whatever and going, these people are going to run against me? They don't even have anybody yet. Mm-hmm. And I already have my signatures. I have $4 million in cool hard cash sitting in my war chest. I have 30 years of Lugar series and the Lugar Leadership Conference stuff. I got all of this, and I got all these people that went through my series that are going to support me. You can't... If you're going to take on a guy like Richard Lugar, you better be well-oiled, you better be well-greased, and you better have some money. Now, Freedom Works was there.
Yes,
and they
so just
talked... What's that?
And so
well, Club for Growth is not completely with them yet. They're going to vet the people.
Okay.
But Freedom Works was there and represented, and they talked about, you know, hey, you know, you need to get organized, you need to figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. We'll help you, you know, take this guy on, but you need to be better, you need to be organized, and you need to figure out what kind of organization you're going to be. Are you going to be a political party? Are you going to be a PAC? Are you going to be a 501c4? There's a lot of laws with that. There's a lot of stuff with that. So what I was hearing was you need to get organized before you take this guy on, because we lost a lot of races last year where, you know, this group over here didn't like him because this group over here liked him, and they lost because there was no organization at all.
Yeah.
And FreedomWorks spent a lot of money in 2010 elections and lost some, and that sucks when you lose some like that, especially when you spend a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But,
well, particularly this letter, though, the Tea Party put together a letter that they sent via caravan to Washington that was directed towards Senator Lugar, respectfully asking him to retire.
Right.
And here's one issue that I had with the letter. There are actually a couple of issues. And mind you, I actually do support a primary against Dick Lugar. I hope that they find a good candidate. I did not support Senator Lugar in 2006 when he ran for re-election. I actually wrote in a candidate in the general. The one thing that I want them to that I just didn't like, it seemed very disrespectful to me to do this, to send it to their personal office. I mean, one, it's an election thing, so you want to send it – technically, you probably want to send it to the campaign. But it seemed to me, it seemed to cross a bit of a line, and I know that the Tea Party has been, you know, is likes to push the line, but it just rubbed me the wrong way. One, because it seemed crass, even if it was quote unquote respectful.
Right.
But secondly, you know, what is to prevent other Tea Party groups from sending the same kind of letters to representatives or senators who have been there, you know, who have been there a long time, but actually have a good conservative record? They just don't like the fact that they've been there a long time.
Well, and I think the thing is with that letter was, why are you asking him to retire? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you not want to? I mean, let's be honest. If someone sent me a letter and I was the senator, and they're like, we want you to retire respectfully and blah, 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 blah. Guess what? I'm going to look at this and go, they can't beat me, so they want me to retire?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I'm looking at it, because, and that's fine. If they want to send them a letter, great, fine. Send them a, and they didn't just send it, they delivered it. They hand-delivered it.
Yep, yeah, they did.
And had CNN there and all these other media outlets, and the Tea Party Express met them. And look, these people, I have a lot of friends that work at FreedomWorks. I have a lot of friends that work with Tea Party Express. I've done some work with them. They're great people, and they're great. But at the same time, you are going against a well-oiled machine.
Yeah,
and
well,
Lugar's not, and like Abdul said, Lugar's not asleep is asleep at the wheel. He knows exactly what's going on.
Well, yeah, I would argue that if he knew exactly what was going on, he wouldn't have made some of the decisions he has.
You know what? It's like that thing. I would rather have someone that agrees with me 80% of the time than someone that disagrees with me 100% of the time.
Well, Lugar has proven that he doesn't even agree with you 80% of the time. That's the problem. Anyway, we've come to the end of the segment. We've come to the end of the show.
Not true, Doc. It's not true.
It is true. Go look at the record. But we've come to the end of the segment. We've come to the end. We got to go. We've actually come to the end of the show, Mark. So
you're taking away my freedom of speech. That's all right.
Hey, you're on this show every week. I don't take away anything from you. I even made you a fancy intro. All right?
Yay.
So shut your yapper. All right? Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight to Gillespie. My guests have been Christy Kelly, who is not just a guest. She's actually part of the show. Rebecca Wales from SGP Action, Smart Girl Politics. And, of course, everybody's favorite Midwest rhino, Mark Warner. Mark, thanks for being on.
You're welcome. Thanks for taking away my freedom of speech.
I enjoy it. Stick around for Michael Fidenza, the Armchair Energist. We'll see you guys again next week. Thanks, and have a good evening.